So my biggest fear is there's going to be snakes in the toilet.
We're all afraid of that one strange thing. I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new short 10-minute podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. We unpack where these fears come from.
A rat climbed into my toilet.
And learn how to manage them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back with our awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Hour number three of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, well, Rocket can. The Green Bay Packers on Sunday come from behind to get a victory at legendary Lambeau Field against the Dallas Cowboys. And a big reason why they were able to win the game is their rookie wide receiver Christian Watson balled out. Four catches for 107 yards and three touchdowns. And the Packers wide receiver is kind enough to join us right now on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Christian, first off, appreciate you doing this. Congratulations on the performance on Sunday. How you been?
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I've been great. I've been great. Obviously, coming off a win, doing a lot better. So, I have no complaints.
How do you look back at that performance? Because that was your really welcome to the NFL moment where you really were able to pop off on Sunday.
I definitely enjoyed yesterday. It was obviously super exciting, super grateful for the opportunities I got. But obviously, got to move on from that, look ahead, and just be excited for some more opportunities going forward.
What made that matchup against the Cowboys for you individually such an advantageous situation where you're able to have a big game like that?
I think for me, just personally, that game, it really just came down to just winning a one-on-one matchup. So, they played a lot of man in a lot of different situations where it just happened to, work out for obviously the plays and the schemes that we were calling. They obviously just utilizing, my God-given abilities and my talent and just winning those one-on-one matchups.
So you being a second-round pick, and you almost won in the first round out of North Dakota State, I know you've been dealing with some injuries. There's a transition going from college to the NFL. Did you get a sense leading up to this game that, hey, a big day was just bound to happen for you?
I've definitely just been waiting for my moment, waiting for the opportunity. Obviously, having dealt with the injuries, it's been a little delayed. But having that, confidence and knowing the potential that I had. And the ability that I had, I knew at some point that, it was only a matter of time.
What have you learned about yourself so far in your first year in the NFL, Christian Watson?
I've really just, learned that, it's a different ball game. I had anticipated that, going into it. But there's a lot that goes into, being successful in the National Football League. Because obviously there's a lot of talented players. And there's a lot going on, and everything happens a lot faster. I really just learned, the amount of work, the amount of preparation, the grindy aspect of being successful in the National Football League. It takes a lot.
Now, having 10 weeks under your belt, do you feel like things are starting to slow down for you? You're getting comfortable?
I definitely feel like things have slowed down quite a bit. Just having a really good understanding of the offense. Has played a huge role in that. Obviously, coming in and learning a brand new offense is always tough. Learning the playbook and whatnot. Gotten a decent amount of reps and that physical side of the game has been huge for me in terms of just speeding things up for me.
How would you describe yourself as a wide receiver? People have seen you play this year. They saw what you did on Sunday in a big spot. We know you're a winner going back to North Dakota State. But if someone hasn't really watched a lot of you, how would you describe yourself as a wide receiver, Christian Watson?
I would just describe myself as a versatile playmaker. You know, someone who we obviously, you know, when the ball's in his hands, I'm going to make a play, regardless, and I'm going to utilize, my speed and my size to create mismatches and to win.
Take me to that first touchdown, because clearly you were fired up. I saw the backflip in the end zone. That was pretty nice.
That was a crazy one. Obviously, I kind of got a pre-snap read. I had, obviously, seeing their safety rotation and seeing that it was, that one high, the man coverage look that they had been showing a lot on film. As soon as I got to the line, I knew it was just going to be a one-on-one matchup, and, I just had a go ball. So, this best release, I just got to win. I utilized the speed on that play, got by him, and just stacked him, and made sure that I caught the ball and got in the end zone.
Did you know that if you got in the end zone, you were going to do a backflip, or that was just in the moment?
I knew at some point I was going to break it out. I had done it in practice a few weeks prior, and everyone was waiting on the moment for me to do it in the game and. Have the opportunity to do that in the game. So, I knew everyone was going to be hyped up about it. So it was a last-minute decision for me in terms of, I didn't know, next touchdown I'm going to hit a backflip. But I was definitely – I had it in the bag, ready to break out at any moment.
Christian Watson here with us for the Green Bay Packers off his monster game against the Cowboys. 4 catches for 107 yards and 3 touchdowns. You have 2 good running backs in Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. Running the ball was an emphasis against Dallas. Do you feel like this is going to be – a run-first team moving forward, or you don't know what to expect each and every week with the Packers?
For us, we're really just taking it one week at a time. Obviously, we're going to make the most of what we got and what we're given each and every week, and obviously, the game plan will, change from week to week. But, we have a lot of playmakers in our offense, and we got to get our playmakers the ball, and those, two running backs being, two of the bigger playmakers in the offense. So going forward, I just see us doing whatever it takes to go 1-0 that week. We're gonna do that and try to get it done.
Yeah, when you're down in the fourth quarter, that's not easy to come back against that Dallas team who's been playing a lot of really good football. How did you guys do it? What was the mentality like on your sideline in the fourth?
The mentality of it was just we just believed in ourselves. We believed that regardless of the situation, we were gonna keep on fighting and keep on going. Chipping at them and coming back. I don't think anybody ever wavered on the sideline. The energy was there all game long from everybody on the sideline. So we were locked in and we were prepared to win that game.
You guys needed the win in the worst way after losing 5 straight. If you would have lost that game, you'd have been 3-7. What was the scene like in the locker room to get you guys to 4-6 after that crazy game on Sunday?
It was just pure joy, pure excitement, really positive energy. I could feel the love and the energy in that locker room afterwards. It was definitely one that we needed and one that was hard fought. So, we were all really excited.
What can this team be moving forward? Because there's a lot of people that are still doubting you guys at 4-6.
We're going to continue to just be as good as we can be. I think that we have the potential to be really, really good. I think that we're going to continue to make strides to obviously show that each and every game. I think that everything that we want is still in front of us in our eyes. We're just obviously, taking it week by week and we're just going to try to stay on that incline and stay on that rise and then just keep on chopping.
I know Christian Watson, there was so much going into this game being made about Mike McCarthy's return to Lambeau Field going up against his old quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. It seemed like just watching that game on television, it meant a little bit extra more for both Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy. Did you sense that game mean a little bit something extra for your quarterback and Aaron Rodgers being around him all week?
I obviously wasn't around for that.
Yeah.
I don't know that exact connection, but I think it was. I think it meant a little bit extra to everyone, honestly. Being in the situation that we were in, and just knowing what was at stake going forward. I felt that little boost of energy from everybody, and I think that we're going to see a lot more of that. Throughout the season, obviously, treating every single week like it's the last week.
Take me through your draft day. You know, when you get drafted in the second round by the Green Bay Packers, what do you remember about that phone call when you got drafted by the Packers?
It was crazy. Obviously, you know, it had been a dream of mine since I was a little kid to you know, play at the highest level possible. You know, I was back home with my family and my loved ones, my fiance, and I couldn't have been more grateful to have that moment with them. It was crazy. I mean, it was a dream come true for real.
Is it surreal? Like, when did it hit you that Aaron Rodgers was going to be your quarterback?
I think it hit me as soon as I got the first text from him. It was crazy just to obviously, you know, get a text from you know, a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. And just to know that, you know, that's going to be my quarterback going forward. It was crazy. But, I mean, I think it really, really sunk in when he came out for the mandatory minicamp and, obviously, you know, getting live reps with him, just, you know, his knowledge of the game and just the level that he plays at and practices at, it was crazy.
Where's your chemistry at with him as that continues to be a work in progress of this being your first year with the Packers?
I think it's really good. You know, I think that obviously, you know, I'm continuing to, you know, build that trust with him, build that connection with him. I know that he has faith in me, obviously, you know, being able to, you know, come back to me, you know, whether, you know, things were going good or going bad. I think it's just going to continue to rise and obviously flourish as the season continues to progress.
Jeremy Fowler from ESPN wrote that some of the young wide receivers have been painted as scapegoats for the Packers' problems, despite Aaron Rodgers' absence during OTAs, which isn't sitting well with some there. What do you have to say on that? And was there at all a little bit of a rocky relationship at the beginning with some of the younger receivers, you being one of them, and Aaron Rodgers?
I don't really pay attention. I don't really think any of us rookies, you know, pay attention to, you know, what's going on in the media or people's opinions on anything or you know misunderstandings of what is said. I think that, you know, we're in there, we're in the facilities, we're practicing, we're around 12 for hours the majority of the day. So I mean, we already have kind of a sense and a feeling of, you know, what he's feeling, and we never got any, you know, bad energy or bad vibes from him. So nothing negative to say about that.
This team getting a win, it was much needed. What is the vibe around this team right now at 4-6?
We're just head down, continue to work, continue to prepare. We're just taking it week by week. We know that each game going forward just means a heck of a lot to us, and we just got to continue to just strive to go 1-0 each and every week.
Well, it's a quick turnaround because you guys do play on Thursday night back at Lambeau Field up against Tennessee. What jumps out to you when you go through the early scouting report on this Tennessee defense?
Obviously they have a really sound defense. They play a lot of man coverage, so there will be a lot more opportunities, obviously, for those one-on-one matchups and just winning. But I mean, obviously, you know, they have a really sound defense. They have a really really good pass rush up front. It's really just gonna be another grindy one where it's gonna have to, you know, continue to be at our best and put that foot in the door and keep on working.
Last thing I'll ask you, Christian Watson, I really do enjoy the conversation so far today. I know we talked about your three touchdowns, but in a game like that against the Cowboys, you're at Lambeau Field, you get to do a Lambeau leap. You have all those fans chanting your name and you're number one. Just what were you feeling during that entire game when that's a game you guys had to have and you had your best performance of the season?
It was euphoric for sure. It definitely felt like there was, you know, a weight lifted off my shoulders. It was a really big game for, you know, confidence in myself and just, you know, having that confidence with, you know, with everybody on the squad. It was a hard fought win for all of us, you know, including myself. So, it was great.
Well, hey, keep up the good work. It was a heck of a performance on Sunday. Really do appreciate you carving out some time for us. Good luck against Tennessee. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
You got it. There's Christian Watson from the Green Bay Packers after his monster performance on Sunday up against the Dallas Cowboys, where he did have 107 receiving yards on 4 receptions and 3 touchdowns. There's a lot of big expectations on him. You know, that's not an easy spot. You walk in, you know where the chemistry was with the Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, how they could wake up in the middle of the night and go have 10 completions for like 180 yards and two touchdowns. And you have a lot of young receivers on that team and new faces on that offense. And you know Rodgers only getting older. And there's that standard of not only you got to get back to the playoffs, you got to be a Super Bowl contender. And they've struggled. There's no doubt about it. They got a win last week. Now can they stack wins? That's going to be the question. And we'll learn a lot about this Green Bay Packers team on Thursday night against Tennessee. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Well, isn't it crazy how takes change in less than 24 hours? That's what I'm saying now. Kansas City, after last night, they kind of look like the best team in the NFL, Hickey. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to knock
that. Wasn't really convincing. That was a...
I mean, I didn't pick... In terms of right now, I still think the Eagles deserve to be number one. 8-1. They've played perfect football up until last night. One loss, I'm not going to kill them.
Oh, I'm not saying you should kill Philadelphia.
I'm not saying you are. I'm not knocking them down right now.
But I think there is a trust factor with Kansas City. And not only is there a trust factor with Kansas City, I think there's a lot of pressure now in Kansas City. Because remember, Kansas City a few years ago won a Super Bowl. And everyone threw flowers at Andy Reid. Everyone said Mahomes about to embark on a dynasty. Now, let's be fair, they got to the Super Bowl the next year, they lost to Tom Brady. Last year, they had a brain fart in the second half where the Bengals just shut them down defensively. It was almost as if Mahomes, once he stuttered right at the goal line, and then they walked into half without getting points, kind of were never able to move on from that. And they fumbled this year up against the Colts. They basically kicked that game away, which is just wild. And their other loss was to the Buffalo Bills. But if you had to say right now, 10 weeks in, going to week 11 on Thursday night, the team you trust the most, I think it would have to be Kansas City. Because if I ask you right now, who do you trust more, Mahomes or Jalen Hurts?
Well, it's obviously Mahomes.
I'm just asking. And then would you trust Andy Reid or Nick Sirianni more?
No, Andy Reid.
I think that goes a long way when you also get into the playoff experience those guys have, that unfortunately, and they're young and it's inexperienced too, that Sirianni and Jalen Hurts really don't have, other than getting to the wild card round last year and getting blown out by the Buccaneers. Now, with that being said, I'm not trashing the Eagles. I think the Eagles can still get to the Super Bowl. I think they are the favorites still right now to get to the Super Bowl in the NFC. And the Vikings would be number two. But if you had to pick a Super Bowl today and you could get a free pass on whatever your prediction was before the start of the season, And before this, what was your Super Bowl prediction for the start? I know you had the Rams.
Rams, Broncos.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Broncos winning.
Mm.
0-2 on that one.
I am to be determined on one. I had the Ravens. I still think the Ravens could get there. And then the other one was the Packers. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that the Packers, you know, I don't want to upset that actor, but this is going to be a hot take. I don't think the Packers are going to the Super Bowl this year. So, if we could repick, who would be your Super Bowl right now?
Chiefs, 49ers.
Ooh, the 49ers who have displayed zero consistency and had a lethargic effort even in a victory on Sunday Night Football.
I am betting their talent wins out in the end. And their style of football, which I like.
The quarterback concerns me, though. And McCaffrey, as good as he's been, he's not the most durable player in the world. I'm going to say right now, I would go Kansas City, Philadelphia. Now, let's say you're wrong and you get a backup. Who's your backup in the AFC? Who's your backup in the NFC? If your initial pick today was 49ers and the Chiefs, who would be your backup picks?
Backup picks, I will go... I'm going to do it.
Can I ask you a question?
Dolphins.
What? Like, you take this stuff too seriously. It's just a prediction.
I want to give you a real
answer.
What was
that reaction that you just gave me?
Because I was like, oh, do I want to do it? But I said, you know what? We're going for it. The Dolphins.
That reaction you just made, you know, I don't know what the heck that was.
I was just me in that moment.
Sounded
tearing
like some
of,
sexual sound or something.
I was between the Bengals and the Dolphins. I said, you know what? We're going with the Dolphins.
Wow. All right. And then how about in the NFC?
Buccaneers.
Wow. I would go as my backup. Buffalo. I think they'll rebound. And I'll trust that Josh Allen will get healthier. And you know what? I'm not going to make the reaction like you did and go, ooh, wait a second, Jim. Ooh. I'll take Minnesota. I think right now, Eagles, Minnesota, the two best teams in the NFC. And in the AFC, I know they've struggled. I know Miami has been better. But I'll still trust the talent of Buffalo. Like you trust the talent of the 49ers will win out. I'll go Kansas City 1, Buffalo 2. Okay. Now, when we look at the playoff picture, would you agree that the biggest surprise this season is that the AFC East and the NFC East are the two best divisions in football. Now, like Seattle, individually, surprise. There's no doubt about it. I thought the Broncos would be missing the playoffs. I didn't think they'd be that bad. That's a surprise. Rams, totally just flopping, is a huge surprise. And the Packers being 4-6, a surprise. But in a collective grouping, I'm talking about in all the divisions, the two surprise divisions this year is the AFC East and the NFC East in terms of how good those two divisions are from top to bottom.
Especially when all offseason, all we did was talk about the AFC West and the best division ever and four teams getting in. You're right. It's no one, rightfully so, was looking at the NFC East or the AFC East for sure.
Like you look at the divisions, AFC West, it's been surprising that two of those teams have both flopped. The Chargers are okay. They got to show me more. The Chiefs are great. The AFC South, nothing surprised you against the Texans and the Jaguars. I thought the Colts would be better. But Tennessee has owned Indianapolis and has owned that division for the last few years. Nothing major surprise there. The North, Browns, no Watson. Steelers were starting Trubisky early on, and then they go to Kenny Pickett. The two best teams in that division, Ravens, Bengals. The NFC North, Minnesota being the division winner clearly is a surprise. I thought they'd be the second team and be in the playoffs. So there is a surprise, but the other two teams, the Bears and the Lions, yeah, they're starting to come alive a little bit the last few weeks, but they're not, neither of those teams are going to make the playoffs. The South, Saints stink. Falcons have been better than what you thought. Panthers are bad. Bucks have not been great, but they'll still win the division. Most of us thought going into the year there was one playoff team for that division. And the NFC West, there's some surprises. You look at the NFC West, yeah, the Seahawks being at top of that division no one saw coming. 49ers, we didn't know who was going to be their quarterback, right? It was Trey Lance, and how long is that going to last? Now Jimmy G's back. We'll see if they can find their groove. The other two teams, Cardinals, I thought they would be in contention for a playoff spot. They weren't a lock to make the playoffs. The Rams are the big surprise there. But from top to bottom, if I asked you before the year, AFC East, the Bills were the only lock. Like, people were optimistic on the Dolphins, but there was a debate on who's the second best team in the AFC East. You look at the NFC East, it was, okay, Philadelphia I thought was going to win the division, but some people argue the Cowboys. The only two teams we considered to make the playoffs were those two teams. No one thought the Commanders were making the playoffs, and no one thought that the Giants would even win five games this year. They're 7-2 right now. So when we look at the AFC East and the NFC East, let's start with the AFC East. How many teams in the AFC East are going to make the playoffs this year? Because right now, if the season ended today, Dolphins would be the two. The Jets would then be the second team in. Bills would be the third team in. And then the Pats would be the seventh seed. They'd be the fourth team in from the AFCs. How many of those teams at the end of the day end up making the playoffs?
Two. Dolphins, Bills.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Because I think that the Bills are still going to win that division. In the North, I go with the Ravens. South Tennessee. West Kansas City. Then your wild card spots, I'm going to say, are Cincinnati. Clearly Miami will get in, and then I'll lean Chargers. Who are your wild card spots right now? Do you agree with, I'm assuming you agree with those division winners, or you go Miami?
No, yeah, I'll still go with the Bills. I will agree with those three teams, actually.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Now, if you had to take one out, who would be your one out?
Chargers.
Mine would be the Chargers. If the Chargers are out, do you go New England, or do you go the Jets?
I will leave it up to Sunday.
Wow.
Winner Sunday gets in.
Okay.
And if that's the case.
Now, in the NFC East, how many of those teams get into the playoffs?
Three.
And it's the Commanders that are out, correct?
Commanders are out.
Imagine if Taylor Ham Heineke gets them into the playoffs. Oh, that would be the death of Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz's career is already on life support. But if Taylor Ham Heineke is their starter for the rest of the season, he should absolutely start this weekend. But if he ends up starting every game for the rest of the season, like, what does Carson Wentz even say? Yeah, I had an MVP-type season all the way back in 2017. That got him a job in Indianapolis. That got him a job with the Commanders. That does not get him another job after that in terms of you're bringing him in thinking he's going to be a starting quarterback.
Man, time to, you know, things shift quickly in the NFL. That is for sure.
Especially for you. Last year, you were, like, slobbering over this guy at this point in the season.
Yeah, this time last year is when the run was starting.
I tried to warn you. So NFC playoff teams, Eagles, your division winner. The North, it's the Vikings. The South, it's Tampa. The West, you go San Francisco, or are you taking the Seahawks? I'm leading the Seahawks right now.
I will go with the 49ers.
Okay. So I'll save your wild card teams. Let me just do it the way that I'm going to go. I will then say Giants are in, Cowboys are in, 49ers are in. Those are my three wild card teams. Your three wild card teams are?
Same, just flip-flop. Giants, Cowboys, and then I have the 49ers win the division, which means Seahawks getting in as a playoff team.
Oh, or a wild card. Wait, hold on. Sorry, my headphones fell out. Who was that last team? I missed that.
The Seahawks, led by Pete Carroll, who some people on this network, who should not be named, said he should be fired and that he's out of touch with the modern NFL. Again, I don't know who it was.
You.
People on this network have been saying that.
I heard two people say specific things on this network. You, what you just said, and then Pat Boyle. When I was filling in for Maggie and Perloff, this is when I wanted to just like punch Pat Boyle in the face. He said at the end of this year, Pete Carroll may look like he's going to like drop dead on the side. I'm like, Pat, what are you doing? But that's what Pat Boyle said. That's how bad he thought the Seahawks were.
Had his Terry Bradshaw moment, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not great.
Mm-hmm. A little bit different, though. When
a little bit.
Boyle and Bradshaw.
I think Terry Bradshaw has a little more clout.
The only similarities they have is that their last name both begins with a B. That's about it.
And blonde.
Yeah. Both probably artificially blonde at this point. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, let's get into the LA Rams a little bit. Where do they go from here? They're not making the playoffs this year. But what do you kind of start to need to do to get this team right for next year?
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Yo, yo, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Not my former producer, Mikey B, but Mikey B, who listens to this show, @_his_airness on Twitter. Zach, my guy, don't write the Rams off yet. Only team left on the schedule that you def won't pick the Rams against is the Chiefs, and even that game is any given Sunday. Now, let me just say something to Mike. The Rams are 3-6. The Rams don't have an offensive line. The Rams have a quarterback who's very good, but he's not playing like he's very good, and he's not a Hall of Famer. You're now going to be without Cooper Kupp for maybe the rest of the season. I don't know when he's going to come back. There's no other great weapon to throw the football to on that offense. Your run game has been all over the place, and you got a good defense, not a great defense, and you're 3-6. Hickey, I just want to do checks and balances here because you are Mr. Optimistic all the time about the Rams. You know, Suss during the break, I saw Suss in the newsroom. You know what Suss said to me?
Probably nothing good, so let's hear it.
No, Suss, well, it's nothing good for you. He goes, do you think Hickey's just trying to mush every team this year? Because Hickey said to me, or Suss said to me, you picked the Broncos, they've been a disaster. You've trashed the Seahawks, they've been great. At first, you were trashing Michigan football. They've been great. He kept on bringing up all these teams, and then he also said, didn't Hickey also say that the Rams are the easiest path to get back to the Super Bowl before the year? And now they're a disaster. And then he goes, oh, yeah, and he guaranteed that the Colts are going to win the division. So I said, I think there's sometimes Hickey tries to intentionally mush. But then I said to him that I did bring up the intentional mush earlier in the show, and you said if you know you're trying to intentionally mush, the mush gods then don't allow that to happen. So, Suss has been all over you. And you know what he recommended to me during the break? You know the DA show does the Year of the Buffoon? Where they just make fun of Mraz? He said you should do a montage, the Year of the Mush, featuring Hot Take Hickey. Now, since I would have to edit that and I would have to produce that and put that together, and the year is almost over to begin with, I'm not sitting through all your bad, as fun as it would be. I would have to find all those bad takes again. That's just too much work for me. But Suss is crushing you in the newsroom tonight. Crushing you.
I thought we were pals. I guess not. I mean, I appreciate Suss listening.
Well, that's, you were a jerk to him.
A good memory.
You were
but
a jerk
geez.
To him about Russell Wilson. Last year he got cocky.
I'll totally admit it.
You said to him, oh, enjoy having your quarterback. He's gone. He's gone. You're going to be crying next year, and that hasn't really worked out for you. So I think Suss is entitled to not only dance on your grave, but start doing like the worm on your grave. Like, be like disrespectful when he dances on your grave.
How about that?
Like, the top, like that's a disgusting act on your grave.
He could maybe do a step over. I don't know much more than that. No worm, no spitting on
the
grave.
I think he could do the fake moon.
No stomping
Randy Moss
on it.
Style.
No,
that's what I think he could
no,
do.
That's, mm-hmm. To the headstone? No,
that's
no.
a disgusting act.
No.
Anyway. Yeah.
Get Joe Buck on the scene. Get Suss right out of there.
3-6 the Rams are. Just entertain me here. Win, loss. They play the Saints this weekend. Win or loss.
I mean, someone's got to win that game. We'll go win for the Rams.
Okay. So that's 4 wins on the year. They play then Kansas City Thanksgiving weekend.
L.
They then play the Seahawks in L.A.
Loss. No cup.
They play the Raiders.
Oh, jeez.
Now, that's basically a home game for the Raiders.
Oh, boy.
Whenever Raiders fans still exist after this miserable season, they'll be taking over SoFi Stadium.
If by that point Joshua Daniels is fired, win for the Raiders. If he's still coaching, win for the Rams.
Okay, McDaniels will still be the coach then.
Win for the Rams.
Packers in Lambeau.
Cold weather, I will go loss.
Okay. Broncos. Oof.
Oh, my.
Super Bowl preview.
Oh, my God. This was supposed to be the weekend. The heavyweight preview.
That changed. Christmas weekend for Hickey.
Yeah.
You gave both those teams coal with your predictions.
That is for sure. Yeah, Santa's not going down their fireplace. Where's that game?
L.A.
Win for the Rams.
Okay. Chargers.
Loss.
Seahawks.
Loss.
Even if you split the Seahawks games, right now you just gave them 3 wins. So that'd be 6 total wins. Even if we disagree, like let's say someone disagrees with 2 games and wants to give them 2 more. Talk about 8 wins most. And this team's not getting to 8 wins this year.
No. 8-9 would be, honestly, considering where they are right now, like a
coach
a
of the year
victory.
For Sean McVay. Like, they are horrible. And we looked into this year. You know what makes it so crazy when teams are struggling this year? I'm talking out of the big 3 in the NFC. It's not as if you could have really seen anything that transpired in the NFC really plotting on out. Like, I thought the Eagles would be good. I didn't think they'd be 8-1. I thought the Packers wouldn't be as dominant as a year ago, but I still thought they would win double-digit games. You look at a team like the Rams, even if you thought they'd take a step back and maybe finish in second, you didn't think they were going to miss the playoffs outright. And really, before the year, they were pretty much the general pick to win that division. And Tampa Bay, they've been struggling, but they have at least have the benefit of a horrible division. Those 3 teams, and Tampa will still make the playoffs, but the Rams and the Packers, once they are officially eliminated, they're going to get slammed. Because you look around the rest of the NFC, like Dallas is a good team. I wouldn't say they're great. The Giants are a team that they're playing a lot better than what their talent is. But if you would have told me before, if you would have called up this show at 855-212-4CBS before the start of the season and told me that the Giants would have a better record at the end of the year than the Packers or the Rams, just one of them, I probably would have bet you something ridiculous. And I would have made myself look like a fool. Like the Seahawks are going to get in the playoffs over the Rams and the Packers. And I know that this is what people are going to say about the Packers. Oh, but they lost Devontae Adams. And for the Rams, oh, now it's going to be Cooper Kupp got hurt. The Rams are a dumpster fire this year before this Cooper Kupp injury. I know it's been lingering. That offensive line is the biggest reason for their demise this year. And think about it, there's no way Odell resigns there now. We were having a conversation about that 4 or 5 weeks ago. Oh, yeah, Odell come in, knight in shining armor, saves the day for the Rams, gives them a little life on offense. Why would Odell, if he cares about winning, go to L.A. right now and sign with the Rams? He wouldn't. So where do the Rams go from here is my question. Like, what do they do this offseason? Because Donald, you think, is going to play another year. Jalen Ramsey isn't going anywhere. Cooper Kupp isn't going anywhere. You have Matthew Stafford. How do they get this ship moving in the right direction again? Because this has been a massive fall from grace. From last year winning the Super Bowl, overcoming some sloppy play in the regular season, and then in the postseason, pulling out victories and having great fourth quarters and making the big plays when they needed to, they haven't only lost a step this year. they have crumbled this year right now, sitting at 3-6, where they couldn't even be competitive with the Cardinals when it was John Wolford against Colt McCoy. It's bad. It's really bad, Hickey.
Starts with the investment of the front five. You got to have an offensive line that, forget about just protecting Matthew Stafford. Next year, you got to have a re-emphasis on the run game. Because for Sean McVay, we talk about Stafford, we talk about Cooper Kupp, Allen Robinson.
Well, their whole offensive approach is just Cooper Kupp right now. And when you're asking one player to go win you a game and put it all on that player, he could still make explosive plays. Like, there's been games where he had big explosive plays, but they don't win because it's just been him. You need complementary pieces. Like last year, Odell played, I know that Robert Woods got hurt, but Odell played a big role for that team. He was a complementary piece. Allen Robinson, for whatever the reason has not been the receiver we thought he was going to be. They need more complementary pieces, but you're right. It starts in the trenches with the line because it's not like Stafford's the most mobile quarterback in the world. That line has been abysmal.
And it's more than even just protecting him. It's really about trying to establish a run game.
Yeah.
Like, we talk about Stafford, you look at all the weapons that they have and all the money they've dumped into receivers and stuff like that, but the basis of the Sean McVay offense is kind of Kyle Shanahan. You have to establish the run first. Like, this offense is predicated on the play-action pass. And when you have no threat of a run game whatsoever, then that play-action pass is useless, and now you're having Stafford back there as a sitting duck, just getting crushed. You got to not only establish, you know, piece in the offensive line next year to protect staff, but you really have to get some sort of semblance of a run game going first, because that's really where this team wants to have success. They want to run the ball first. When you're having success in the run game, that's when the pass game opens up, where Cooper Kupp can explode for 20, 25-yard bursts, where in theory you can allow Allen Robinson then to make a big play they haven't been able to do this year. It starts still in the run game. It starts with those five guys right now doing a terrible job protecting and blocking.
I'm going to transition this conversation, because I'm going to try to parlay this conversation into getting me some cookies. Remember Jameson Milwaukee, who sent us those delicious gourmet cookies last year?
In Green Bay, right? Packers guy?
Mm-hmm.
We need more
cookies from Jameson. So, since Hickey's been having a lot of wrong predictions this year, Jameson, who just tweeted me, "Did you get your Taylor Swift tickets today?" I think it's time to cheer us up a little bit. Mainly Hickey, but send the cookies to me and I'll distribute them to Hickey. You know, I'll just investigate, make sure that they're good and everything's fine. I think Jameson needs to send us some more cookies. Now, by the way, Jameson asked me, he just tweeted to me, "Did you get your Taylor Swift tickets?" I'm not seeing Taylor Swift. I am going to see Bruce Springsteen. I got my tickets at UBS, and I'm going to eventually pull the trigger and pay the money to go see him at the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. Is your girlfriend Lolly a big Taylor Swift fan? Was she trying to get you to go get Taylor Swift tickets today, as I heard those ticket sales were like a disaster? Everything was like crashing trying to get those tickets.
Yes, the websites
surge pricing too.
Awful. I don't know. She's not getting me to go. She knows better. But I think
you wouldn't
some
go?
Of her and her girlfriends are going, I believe.
But they get tickets?
One of them did. I'm not sure how many people are going. But
the haters
they got.
Hate,
I would
hate,
go see Taylor Swift. I think she has great
songs.
You
just said you wouldn't.
Well, not for the money.
How much does it cost?
Oh, I think like.
So did your girl?
$300-$400.
So did your girlfriend get the tickets today?
I'm not sure. I know one of her friends did. I think she's included in that, but I didn't confirm.
Oh, that could cause a lot of problems.
Why?
If she's like the odd girl out.
No,
and the
no,
one
no.
friend
they,
disses
I'm sure
her.
They asked. They asked before. I would guess. I bet she's going.
Can you do me a favor? Can you text Lolly during the break? I'm just curious if she basically dropped your salary on these Taylor Swift tickets. Hickey's going to be doing a few more weekend shifts around
no,
here.
No, not me. Not me, that's for sure.
I don't know.
That's on her.
I don't know. I think you may have to help her out a little bit. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Ben Lieber next.
So my biggest fear is there's going to be snakes in the toilet.
We're all afraid of that one strange thing. I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new short 10-minute podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. We unpack where these fears come from.
A rat climbed into my toilet.
And learn how to manage them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.